The county's number one talk show, the 9 till noon show on Highland Radio.
And a very good morning to you. You're welcome along to the 9 till noon show for a Thursday. It is the 30th of March. Hard to believe we're almost into April, the first 3 months of the year practically gone. And it's a Thursday. We're coming close to the weekend, which is good news, at least for those of us who have the weekend off. And I'm glad to say I do. We always, as we say, have a packed show lined up. But first and foremost, this show is about your views. It's about your perspectives. It's about your take on the issues of the day, both local, regional and national. If you want to advise us of your views and get in touch with the show, text us or WhatsApp us on 086 60 25000. You can call us on 074 91 25000. Anya and Donna Marie both taking your calls. Donna Marie producing the show this morning as well. And you can use social media. We're at Highland Radio on Twitter. We're Highland Hub on Facebook. You can watch the show, of course, on our Facebook pages. You can also watch the show live on YouTube on our Highland Radio Ireland page. And remember, you can also go back and re-watch the show at any point during the day on both Facebook and YouTube, and previous shows also available on the YouTube channel there as well. And that's a very good resource if ever you want to go back and listen to something that was on at some point earlier in the week or even further back. All those videos available on our YouTube channel. You can email us, of course, comments@highlandradio.com. And if you so choose, you can write to Highland Radio, 9 till noon show, Mountain Top, letter Kenny. Highland Radio, letter Kenny is going to get us. Let's be honest about it. But Pine Hill, Mountain Top, letter Kenny is the full address if you're a stickler for that sort of thing. Now, we begin with a look at the papers. And it's a Thursday, so we have quite a few papers to get through this morning. The Donegal News, Derry People, Donegal News Thursday edition. Over half of tourist beds are unavailable. A leading tourism body is warning that towns in Donegal could see very little activity this summer due to a shortage of hotel beds. We heard that story nationally yesterday as well. And indeed, the head of the Irish Tourism Industry Confederation, Ón Amara Walsh, will be in Letterkenny. In fact, is in Letterkenny for a conference that's getting underway in the next 30 minutes at the Mount Errigal Hotel. You may well have heard about that on the news last evening. The Donegal County Council annual tourism conference taking place this morning. We have the ITIC represented. Also, a senior executive from TripAdvisor will be taking a look through the microscope at Donegal from a TripAdvisor perspective. That'll be very, very interesting actually to see what comes out of that particular discussion. But that's the warning that's coming from Ón Amara Walsh at that conference that's taking place, as we said, in the Mount Errigal Hotel this morning. Donegal Democrats, you'll have heard this story on the news already with Michaela. Killybeg's business under investigation. Gardaí confirm operation ongoing in Donegal. A Donegal business is the subject of a Garda National Economic Crime Bureau investigation. Gardaí entered the premises this week. It's understood that staff were asked not to leave nor to use their laptops or phones. A Garda spokesperson said they couldn't comment on a specified entity, but did confirm, as they did indeed confirm to us as well, that an operation was underway. Council urged to act ahead of end of eviction ban. You'll have heard that on the programme this week and on news as well. That's a throwback again to the County Council meeting that took place on Monday of this week. And South Donegal Fire Station saga at pivotal point. You'll have heard some of that on the news with Michaela this morning. And indeed, there's a lot more on that on our website, actually, because we have a longer interview with Councillor Barry Sweeney, about 7 minutes of input from Councillor Sweeney. That's all available on our website at the moment. Also on the website, we have some excerpts from the very comprehensive answer that was given to him by officials, and we have some of their perspectives as well. All that is available on the website, and it's a rule of thumb, actually. Very often when we do a story on news here on Highland Radio, there'll be a lot more material on the website. So it isn't that the website is absolutely the same as the news story. Very often, as we say, the website is augmented and has more available. So always go to the website as a resource for further information when it comes to news stories you hear here and elsewhere. Your Connell Tribune this morning. Chrysla to honour Kay McNulty legacy. Great story this. On next Monday evening, a newly created monument will be unveiled in Chrysla to honour the pioneering work of the late Kay McNulty, one of the world's first computer programmers. And I think it's one of the great injustices and tragedies of history that we have allowed a situation develop where history has been written so much from the point of view of men who did things. And to my shame, I will be honest, I would have known the name of Tim Berners-Lee, I would have known the name of Steve Jobs, but I had never heard of Kay McNulty before reading up about Kay McNulty in local papers like the Tyrconnell Tribune. And the fact is, she, a native of Chrysla, was an absolute key part of the development of the computer industry. And I am sitting at this moment in time with a computer. Literally, I have a keyboard and a screen to the left of me. I have a keyboard and a screen to the right of me. And I have a screen in the middle. There are three screens, two keyboards and a mixing desk, all of which are hooked into a number of computers. This whole station is linked to a network of computers. Everything that happens now on Highland Radio happens via computer and happens digitally. And it was people like Kay McNulty made that happen. So great to see that Kay McNulty will finally get the recognition she deserves, and how fitting it is that the people of Chrysla, the area from whence she came, are leading that particular campaign. Also, a very interesting picture, a plan submitted for Fannet Visitor Centre, an ambitious new project to develop and extend facilities with a new visitor centre at Fannet Lighthouse, has been submitted in a planning application to council this week. It's an absolutely wonderful part of the county, and if you can get yourself up around Fannet Lighthouse on a really sunny day, it is just stunning. That whole Fannet area is one of the jewels in the tourism crown of Donegal. It's absolutely wonderful. Let's look at the Derry News this morning. Irish America supportive of unity referendum. Catherine McGinty writes that Martin Galvin, the former NORAID director of publicity, has been visiting Derry in his capacity as chairperson of the US Freedom for All Ireland Ancient Order of Hibernians. Mr. Galvin presented grant cheques to the Martin McGuinness Foundation, the Bloody Sunday Trust, the Bogside Artists and 16 other groups across the North on behalf of the AOH, and did say that there is very much support in Irish America for a unity referendum. Moving on to the national papers this morning, the Irish Independent today. Army chiefs had insisted to ministers abuse was in the past. Cabinet memo reveals assurances, but report says failings continue to this day. And there'll be more on the programme, I think, on that whole story from the abuse. And we'll be speaking to Women of Honour, I hope, on the programme at some point today in terms of that particular report that was published earlier this week. A cabinet memo reveals the assurances were made, but that report that's been presented this week has said the failings have continued right up to the present day. Irish Times this morning, main story, Gardaí to deal with military claims. Sex assault claims in the Defence Forces will no longer be investigated by military police. New statutory inquiry likely to be led by a judge and may be held in public. Another reference to that particular story. Great picture on the front of the Irish Times this morning. You'll have heard on Sports News with Oisin through the course of the day yesterday that six-time Paralympics champion Jason Smith announced his retirement at the age of 35. The Derryman is stepping away from competitive running unbeaten in the 100 and 200 metres in a career that reaches back to 2005. And Jason is just standing there, head up, arms outstretched, eyes closed, with all his medals draped around his neck and along his arms, and it makes for an absolutely stunning picture. Really, really good picture. Harry Murphy, take a bow. That is a great pick. All DESH pupils to get free hot meals from September. The coalition plans to extend that scheme to other primary schools from 2024. And Kitty Holland writes that every child in a DESH primary school will get a free hot meal from September. Social Protection Minister Heather Humphreys will confirm today. She's also pledging to strongly support a target of a free hot school meal for every child by 2030. And that's the front of the Irish Times. Looking now at the front of the Irish Daily Mail. A disgraceful day in the Dáil. Chaotic and fractious scenes in Dáil Éireann were branded a disgrace by Ciarán Comhairle Seán Ó Fíorchaoil as the government survived a confidence motion to stave off a general election. TDs from across the political spectrum shouted, jeered, heckled and interrupted each other in ill-tempered early morning exchanges in the Dáil chamber. The coalition survived two crunch votes to avoid an election and the extension of the eviction ban. A disgraceful day in the Dáil is the headline there. Ciarán Cóirla exasperated. So, I mean, let's be honest. I mean, shouting and jeering and catcalling across the sides of the Dáil is absolutely nothing new. But I suppose it was on steroids, as it were, yesterday. Let's look at the tabloids. Irish Daily Star this morning. Don't rash to conclusions. A Manchester United story. Yeah, it is. Manchester United story. That's on the back page. Paul had heart set on Ireland. O'Grady dead at 67. We'll return to that in a moment. Monk nephew caged savage is the main one-word headline on the Irish Daily Star. Judge slams Ross Hutch over knife and punch attacks. He's jailed for 10 years. The nephew of Jerry the Monk Hutch has been jailed over two violent attacks in the space of 48 hours. Also, killer hunted as US attack victim dies. Police are hunting for a thug who killed an Irishman in one punch attack on St. Patrick's Day in the US. Carpenter Barry Whelan from Dublin was attacked as he enjoyed a night out in the city of Boston. Front of the Irish Daily Mirror this morning, murdered family inquest. We lost three gems. No one can replace them. Heartbroken relatives of murdered Seema Banu and her two children have spoken of their anguish at the deaths. Seema's nephew, Kasif Ahmed, travelled from India to visit their graves. He wept as he said, "Nothing will ever replace these gems." Seema, Asfira and six-year-old Faizan were strangled by husband Samir Saeed, who took his own life in prison. That's the sad story on the front of the Irish Daily Mirror. Front of the Irish Sun this morning, Ta-ra Lily, Ta-ra Paul. Rod McPhee writes, the beloved entertainer Paul O'Grady has died aged 67, prompting a huge outpouring of grief from fans, celebrity and even royalty. Comic Paul was a star twice over, first as his drag persona Lily Savage and then as himself. Also, his love of dogs has been widely remarked upon, and he was very involved in rescuing and saving dogs. And a loss indeed, a great entertainer over many, many decades. Family pain at verdict delay. Murdered Bobby Mr. Moonlight Ryan's family have told of their agony as killer Patrick Quirk's appeal was delayed. Daughter Michelle said, "We've had to cope with mental anguish for the next 2 months." Also, Hutch jailed 10 years for two attacks. That was the story we covered a little earlier. Now, today is a Thursday, which means it's also the day for the Irish Farmers Journal. Don't forget, by the way, as we review the journal, that just at the end of the half five news, at the five of the 5 o'clock news this evening, in or around about the 20 past five mark, there or thereabouts, just after the sport, we have farming news and views with Chris Ashmore. That takes place every Thursday. It's also the day the Irish Farmers Journal comes out. So very often the issues that are being covered on the journal will be referred to by Chris and sometimes followed up in more detail. And Chris has a very good programme. The Irish Farmers Journal this morning, the main headline, calves set to be flown to Europe. Declan O'Brien writes that up to 1,600 dairy calves will be flown to the continent in the coming weeks in a novel move aimed at testing the viability of air transport. The dairy calves will be flown from the southwest. Both Shannon Airport and Kerry Airport in Farran 4 are being considered. And sticking with Kerry, lovely photograph, great excitement in Kilgarvan when quadruplet lambs were born on March 24th. A picture of the Healy siblings holding the lambs in the shed, the first quadruplets born on the farm in many years, we are told. And that's the Irish Farmers. I have to say, the Irish Farmers Journal too, it's a good thick paper. There's plenty of content in it. Absolutely plenty of content indeed. So that's the way it's looking on the newspapers this morning. As we say, lots to happen on the programme this morning, but if you want your views and your perspectives, you can, as we say, text us 086 60 25,000. That number good for WhatsApp messages as well. You'll have seen in your Inishowen Independent this week or heard the story on the Highland Radio News yesterday about the semi-detached house that's been knocked because of defective blocks, but the adjoining building, which it's understood is also affected by defective blocks, left standing. Councillor Jack Murray, you commented on social media this week that it was an incredible photo that needs to be seen both locally and nationally.
Yeah, I hope that, I'm glad in a way that this photo has made the front page of the paper, and I hope that it is now seen, particularly in the corridors of power in Dublin, to see the madness of the situation being faced by people in Donegal as this scheme now starts to roll out further. We've seen the one house of the Benson family in Heather Park in Moncrana is getting demolished, has been completely demolished to be rebuilt, while the next door neighbour, which isn't can't access the scheme at the minute, has to remain there. And there's additional cost to that, approximately €10,000 to have a party wall. Obviously, the house had to be taken down by hand. If the two houses were to come down together, they could have been demolished much, much quicker and rebuilt much, much quicker, much more in a cost-effective manner. So it just highlights the farce that the system is at the minute. Now, it's an extremely difficult time for both homeowners, and I suppose it's difficult for them for the house to be seen around the country, I think, by this stage. But nonetheless, it needs to be seen, and it needs to be a wake-up call for those decision-makers that can bring a common-sense approach to this this entire fiasco.
One of the points that's been made over the past number of months is that in the case of the defective blocks redress scheme that's covering Donegal, Mayo and the other affected counties in this instance, what the government's effectively done is it said, we have a scheme. Now, Donegal County Council, you administer it. Householders, you must get all the information and engineers' reports together and then you can apply for it. And we're going to give you some money and basically sit back and wash our hands of it. Every other scheme we're told, the Pyrite scheme, the other scheme linked to apartments that's going through the system at the moment, they're all schemes being led from Dublin by government through a national agency. And your argument is we need that sort of national coverage here in order to make sure that we don't get daft occurrences like this.
Absolutely. The housing agency needs to come in, take a helicopter view, and methodically go through it in a far more sensible manner than what we're seeing right now. I'm aware that even back in as far as the 70s, when the Craigan estate was rebuilt in Derry, something similar had to happen. Thousands of people had to be rehoused. At that point, what they did was they prefabricated houses, did containers, storage containers for people's belongings, and they went street by street. People moved into those houses when the houses were rebuilt. Street by street, they just went through it and tidily, and it worked well. So if we could do that, that goes to 40 or 50 years ago, I can't see why it can't be done now. And this is a scheme that's been in the making for well over 10 years. And to see it now, this is something we've all flagged. Councillors and TDs from across the political spectrum would have flagged that this was going to happen. But now we see it coming to fruition, and just the madness of such a stark photograph. I think now really it should be the wake-up call that we need that helicopter view. We need to do it, and common sense needs to be applied.
Has there been any indication from Dara O'Brien's department that they're in any way going to be flexible on this? Because it seems every time they speak to Donegal County Council, what comes back is, effectively, our hands are tied, it's up to you to solve it.
That'd be untrue. This isn't within the council's gift at all.
That's what the department seem to be saying to the council. Effectively, the department are pushing it back on the council all the time, even though, as you say, the council is very limited in what it can do. But the department does still appear to be saying, look to the council as far as it's concerned, it's your job.
Yeah, and I think the department are quite happy to make the council be the fall guy in all this, but this is the regulations of the scheme that's making this happen. The council have no way of solving this without the council or without the department changing the guidelines. Now, I do know that in the new scheme, rental property should be included, so that I suppose they would say will fix it in the new scheme. But there's still going to be more anomalies. The likes of the new street in Buncrana, which we know is affected, all the bottom floor or most of the bottom floor buildings there are commercial properties, which aren't going to be included. So if anybody above those commercial properties owns an owner-occupied apartment, like, that's going to be impossible to resolve. How could you take an apartment above a commercial property and do it? So we're going to see more and more of these photographs. We're going to see more and more of these problems until there is a total 100% redress scheme for everybody affected with the properly sort of helicopter view management, a holistic management from the housing agency, because this is just going to be another 10, 20 years of these photographs that are going to shock people. But despite the warnings from across the community in Donegal,
it begs the question, though, how come, given all the warnings they had from MAG and from people like Michael Doherty, who sat on countless meetings with countless department officials and issued updates every weekend on social media and outlined the frustration they were getting, where they were saying it seemed every week the message coming back from the MICA Action Group and others was, look, we're telling the department this, we're telling the department that, we're telling the department the other thing, but the department didn't appear to be taking it in, the department didn't appear to be listening. I mean, are we now seeing effectively a flock of chickens coming home to roost?
Absolutely, and it smacks of real desktop exercise in Dublin and penny pinching that didn't make any sense, despite the likes of the Make Action Group flagging that this would happen. As I said, they've tried to penny pinch by delaying some houses from getting repaired, and that's why the likes of the rental property next door to this house couldn't be repaired yet or rebuilt. But in doing that, they've cost the extra at least €10,000 in the construction costs of that one block. Now, in Heather Park, I think there's 33 blocks. So if you add that up, that's an extra €300,000 just in that one park that could be saved to the Exchequer and to the homeowners and to the stress being put on those people. Just from that, from refusing to listen to all those calls from the Make Action Group, from political representatives, not just recently, but over the last 10 years. It's crazy. And as you said, as the chickens coming home to roost now.
In terms of the response that it's getting a local response. You have said that your hope now is that this photograph will be seen, this photograph will be understood. Have you any hope that this will be a turning point? Because we've had so many instances like this in the past where people have said, look, this has got to be a turning point. This has got to drive the situation home. But time and time again, it hasn't.
Yeah, look, and this isn't a turning point. I will really despair because you can't, when you see it so stark, when people can, you can make calls, you make written reports and people can ignore them. When you see that photograph, like, how could anybody with any common sense not see that this is madness? Like, I would hope that finally they will take this on board. And I've spoken to my colleague Potter McLaughlin. He's going to raise this with the minister, directly with the minister. He's going to raise it in the floor of the Dáil. And I'd hope that at last, at long last, common sense will prevail. But unfortunately, there's been a lot of hope through the last 10 years in this, and there's been a lot of disappointment. But so you can't just expect that it definitely will, but you can just hope against hope that they will listen this time.
As well as householders, of course, Donegal County Council itself does have houses that are affected by defective blocks. And a question we've just had in, can you answer why is the council not replying to correspondence from council house tenants, your own tenants, who are affected by defective blocks?
I don't know those specific incidents. I would say to anybody that's having any problem and contact the council, to contact myself directly, and I can make contact with the relevant staff member in the council, and I'll try and get a response as quickly as possible. But I'm not sure exactly what that query is about.
Now, I know that there is ongoing discussion in the chamber, and I'm sure with government and the department, as to how the council is going to be able to remediate its own homes that are affected. And I suppose you have several situations where there are tenants, council tenants in houses that are affected, and they'll be wondering what the future holds for them.
Yeah, and again, we still don't have a response from the department to give the hundreds of millions that the council will need to rebuild its own housing stock. In Buncrana, we've rehoused people into new houses in the Rocky Town estate temporarily while we're waiting for funding to rebuild houses in Buncrana that are damaged. This again has a knock-on effect to affect our own housing list. We're in the middle of a housing crisis, and we're trying to rehouse people to homes that could be used to reduce the housing list. It's an absolutely mad situation. And again, a similar situation is arising in Mulcrana. I'm aware of a housing block where an upstairs apartment has bought out, so it's now owner-occupied, while the four apartments surrounding it are council-owned. So again, we have an anomaly. Like, if that person applies to the scheme, are they going to take out the top corner of a four-apartment block and replace it on the rest of the building that's going to crumble? Like, this is again more the madness of the scheme as it currently stands.
I think from the council point of view, perhaps some people are looking at the experiences, for instance, in the Burnfoot area after the flooding, when some council tenants left their homes, and to this day they're not back in those homes yet. And I think there's perhaps some worry out there that sort of issues like that are going to get replicated as a result of defective blocks, and hopefully, I'm sure you'd love to see that avoided, because we know sort of that the heartache that's been felt in Burnfoot after the floods, and you don't want to see that experience replicated in Buncrana or elsewhere.
Yeah, and the people of Burnfoot are rightly very, very angry that this was the promises that they've been given haven't come into reality. And again, they're scattered throughout in the show and still waiting to come home. And again, this is the same. We're waiting for funding at a national level. Burnfoot flood defence scheme still hasn't been implemented or constructed. Now it is in train, but it hasn't reached this point. But again, all those council houses are council tenants who are waiting on it and frustrated and be worried about that. Again, at the leisure of the department, the council needs hundreds of millions to get in to rebuild its own housing stock. But priority, understandably, has been given to private homeowners, but it should be running in tandem. Both should be running together. together and we can get this nightmare for so many thousands of people across Donegal just brought to an end at last.
And the phrase perfect storm was used at this week's meeting of Donegal County Council. We have the situation where, as you say, the council is awaiting hundreds of thousands to rebuild stock affected by defective blocks. It's waiting for money to rebuild stock, even affected by floods of 2017. And at the same time, the council is also facing the prospect of having to find multiple new social homes for people who potentially are facing eviction, people on the council's housing list. So as well as replacing old stock, you're going to be looking for substantial resources to get some new stock in as well.
That's it. And the councils in Donegal, the added difficulty of not being able to buy household or buy new housing stock that's on the market. The Minister Dara Brown would often quite flippantly say that the eviction ban can be sorted by the local authorities buying houses, but we know that Donegal County Council can't buy anything that's been built in the last 20 or 30 years for fear of it having defective concrete blocks. So even in the likes of the counties down south that aren't affected, it can take a year for a local authority to buy a house and bring it into the public ownership. Donegal County Council don't even have that option available to them because of the defective block crisis. So I'm very, very fearful of what lies ahead in the coming days as the eviction ban takes hold and more people are evicted across Donegal, because there is just nothing out there. There's very, very little in terms of private rental, houses for sale. And even houses for sale, you obviously are very fearful that they have defective concrete blocks. So it is, yeah, it was rightly described as a perfect storm, and I am quite fearful for what lies ahead.
I do recall at January's meeting, the council did adopt a protocol whereby it could start to buy stock, and it published a list of options that were available to it with regards to buying houses, be they turnkey or be they existing houses. Are you saying that as of yet, that hasn't been implemented and the council still can't buy?
No, they've adapted it in that they could be more, so they can buy them if they can be guaranteed that they don't have defective blocks. But the point I'm making is that so much of the market is full of houses that have defective blocks, so they can't be bought neither by the council nor by a private person who's going to buy for their own dwelling. Like, it's a problem across the county, regardless of any policy.
Councillor Jack Murray, thank you very much indeed for speaking to us this morning.
Thank you, Don.
Jack, you take care. Bye-bye now. That's Councillor Jack Murray there. Comments that's just come in. Well, it's not a comment, actually. It is, yeah. I mean, yesterday, Barry Cowan, a Fianna Fáil TD, a caller says Barry Cowan, with a hint of a snigger from the FFFG party, as they call it, has compared the eviction ban to continually feeding children sweets because at some stage you have to take them away. I've never heard a more grotesque analogy in my life. They really don't care, so says a caller. And yeah, that analogy, let's be honest, at best, it was very, very clumsy. Welcome back to the 9 to Noon Show on Highland Radio with Donal Kavanagh. Message in, Donal, I want to congratulate LMS Derry for their production of 9 to 5. They were on the show a while back, they were indeed. It's fantastic, from Chorus, friends and family in Strabane. And I will echo that. I am looking forward. I'm actually going to the Millennium Forum myself tomorrow night to see the show. I know quite a few of the people in it. And was actually involved in a production of 9 to 5 here in Letterkenny myself a couple of years ago. It's a great show, and I know a few of the people involved in the Derry production, and I cannot wait for tomorrow night to get my bum onto a seat in the Millennium Forum and enjoy what's going to be an absolutely fantastic show. Caller asking, are the pubs open on Good Friday? My belief is yes, they indeed they are. The ban on closing pubs on Good Friday ended some time ago, so I certainly would expect the pubs to be open tomorrow week. Good morning, Donal. I have CCTV cameras around my home for a number of years. The wrong time began showing on the TV pictures at the weekend. I got a technician to look at it. He said it was showing Beijing time, not Irish time. He couldn't explain why this had happened. Has this happened to any of your listeners, or can anyone offer any explanation? Thank you. It's an interesting one. Now, all I will say from the top of my own head, my own personal sort of immediate reaction to that is, could it be that the cameras, for whatever reason, have defaulted to factory setting, and presumably factory setting would have the cameras on Beijing time if they were made in China. Now, it, could it be that there was a power cut and something had happened and that had knocked the cameras back? And you know, sometimes these things, they, when they're restored to factory settings, the times all change and they go back to 00. That off the top of my head, I wonder, could that be it? It possibly could be. But, I mean, I have absolutely no knowledge of the situation. Now, I want to go to Paddy Diver. We spoke about the defective blocks crisis with Councillor Jack Murray, and few people know more about the frustration of campaigning on this issue than Paddy Diver does, and it's fair to say Paddy was absolutely pivotal in getting the renewed focus on defective blocks that we saw in 2020 and 2021. And without Paddy Diver, there wouldn't have been the major marches on Dublin, and arguably without Paddy Diver, we'd still be awaiting the well, what's supposed to be a new improved steam. Paddy, good morning.
Good morning, Donal.
Paddy, you're saying that you're looking at Fianna Fáil doing press calls about the defective block crisis, but you believe this is more a vote-catching exercise than it is a genuine attempt to resolve this crisis.
Yeah, I'm really frustrated watching them going out there and putting their heads up there as if everything's great. The frustration is boiling to a different level. I really do believe that Dara Breen, as the Minister of Housing, has the gift to give, because it's been proven that he's went against the exchequers or the civil, and the civil servants people, and he's got 100% for the apartments in Dublin. When I seen that, I always thought it was the civil servants that was pushing the buttons here, and some of the TDs hadn't got the power, and the Minister of Housing mightn't have had the power. But when I seen this, it completely and utterly proved that Dara Breen, as the Minister of Housing, has power, has the gift to give. And when I see this, I look in at Fianna Fáil around our county, and Charlie McConglough putting the pressure on him. Dara Breen doesn't care about the people of Donegal. That's acceptable. Fair enough. But the Fianna Fáil people that we've voted in to represent us in Donegal, they're the ones we expect to do it, but they're not doing it. And like we've seen Charlie going against us in the PLS and the amendments, but that's not good enough. The people are suffering for too long. And when we've seen that there is a gift to give and the Fianna Fáil are not putting on the pressures, like when we watch Fianna Fáil, one Fianna Fáil man went to Dublin to represent the people. And then I've been talking to Mayo ones. They're another big county affected. No Fianna Fáil went in Mayo. Now, is it the case that Fianna Fáil are just not representing the people? They're just taking the party over the people? And if this is the case, and that's what's going to happen, then if they get any more votes in Donegal, it's going to get to the stage that the people's the problem, not Fianna Fáil, because we shouldn't be voting them if they can't get us across the lane, a lot of stuff. And
now,
what
Charlie McConlough may very well argue, and I'm sure Charlie McConlough has argued this to your face and to others as well. Charlie will say that he is in Dublin day in, day out, arguing with Dara O'Brien, arguing with civil servants, arguing with the Department of Housing, that he is pushing for improvements. And the more he pushes, the more chance he's going to get it. That if he were to leave, or if he were to make some big statement and walk out, then there's going to be nobody from Donegal at the cabinet table pushing for this. So he's going to argue, however frustrating it may be to watch from outside, he's got a better chance inside the tent than he has standing outside it looking in.
Well, he might try and tell us that there, but at the same time, I would rather that there was no TD in Donegal to take a step back, to go two steps forward. Because if we're standing back here and we think that Charlie McConglough's helping us in Donegal, that's not looking like it is. Like, Charlie McConglough told us that the foundations was on the scheme, live on Highland Radio, and it wasn't on the scheme. I asked him, out in Mavull, in that last community service, I asked him that Dara Breen has never been to Donegal and a Mica or defective home. He says he has. He has. I says he hasn't. Who has he been up to? He wouldn't tell me who he was up to. He says he was. He was only up visiting Blaney. That's the only house of my. He has never come up to Donegal and met a homeowner. And that's totally unacceptable. How has Charlie allowed it to get to a stage that the Minister of Housing has not come up to Donegal, seen the tragedies which were on? Fair enough, you can see it on the newspapers and you can see it online. But when you come and actually witness it, how the Minister of Housing hasn't been to Donegal and witnessed and met homeowners is not, it's not right. And Charlie tried to stand up for him and say he has been in one home. He wasn't. He was up visiting Blaney's home, and that's the bottom line. And there's another problem that I asked him. I asked him on the regs, and this is going by what I'm hearing, Charlie's wrong and us again. So when he's wrong, as far as I'm concerned, he doesn't really care. It's his party over people all day long. So that's a big problem. And the problem I asked him was, the word exact is on the regs. Now, this word exact is a big issue. because it, if it stays on the regs, that means that there's going to be no such thing as penalty-free downsizing. You can't downsize your house, and you can't even put on an extension to your house exact as exact, and that'll be in a legislation, so that can't be changed. So he's trying to tell me then, in front of the people, that no, this is okay. You can build a smaller or bigger house. From what I'm hearing, this is just completely and utterly lies. That's not the case. So where does that stand? That means he doesn't care. He's not. He hasn't delved into the regs. He doesn't know them enough. And if that happens, that means we can't get a penalty-free downsizing. And that's one of the gifts to give. Because the penalty-free downsizing is... And it shouldn't... I know there's people out there who will be thinking, oh, I shouldn't be mentioning that. But the problem is, there's a lot of people out there for their mental health that they will lose two rooms if they can get their house built. Built and cost them no money because there's nobody in talks to the banks. And the penalty-free downsizing is massive to a lot of people. Fair enough, a lot of other people wouldn't want to do it. But that's a gift to give from Dara Breen. It's costing the Exchequer no extra money. So why it's not there, that's just not acceptable. That's the bottom line. And then moving on to things that should be gimmies, that's not costing the Exchequer any more money, we've put a penalty-free downsizing. And a penalty-free downsizing there, really and truly, would be looking at the vulnerable that haven't got the headspace to deal with this because they're turning them into contractors. And like, I'm going by a woman, Mary O'Regan in Letterkenny. The poor woman has been a big, massive campaigner in this year. She's had a fall in her house. She now has, she now can't even get up her stairs. She's, she had a, changed all her downstairs, get a wet room and all downstairs. And there's, so somebody like that there, they cannot be allowed to be thrown to the wolves. And that's what's happening in this year's scheme. Because we're not getting enough fighting from Fianna Fáil councillors and Charlie McConglough as a penalty, as the transfer of eligibility. The poor woman, that's not right.
If and I'm right, did Mary speak at the Letterkenny event when the two events took place in Buncrana and Letterkenny about 2 years ago? Did Mary speak at that Letterkenny event? I think she may
Mary
well have done
the
it.
Very first,
that, yeah, yeah,
Mary,
she Mary did. I recall her.
Mary
I was
the very
there.
First, yeah. Yeah. The very first protest on Letterkenny, she spoke.
Yeah, it was just outside,
well.
Outside the community centre. I was there. I heard her actually. She spoke very well. I just remember today. I just wanted to ask that because people that were at that protest will remember that. Just to put a face on, just to put a name and to put a face on the person we're talking about. This is the lady that spoke and spoke very fervently at that meeting. For anyone that was there, just to put it out there, so people know that it's a real person we're talking about as such.
Yeah, but the problem there now is, Donald, and I hope Mary doesn't mind me saying this, Mary is not the same woman she was 2 years ago because this government has chipped and chipped and chipped away at her. Like, it's coming into the springtime now, Mary's garden would be in pristine condition. There wouldn't be a weed along a care, but I mean, it would be just beautiful. But now she's lost it. She's lost in that wool. She doesn't care because she's got nothing in the house. All that woman wants is to get her life back. Transfer of eligibility. Give the house to some energetic young person in their 30s or give it to a contractor. Fair enough, she'll probably take 50,000 less, do you know what I mean, than the scheme, but I'm sure she'd be quite happily buy a little house on down the road and on the last rollout of her life, she'd be happy. But this has been taken away from the homeowners as well, and this is something that is a gift to give. And how Charlie and our Fianna Fáil councillors aren't fighting it, well, that's why I'm kind of going against them. That's why I'm going against them. There's so much other stuff out there. Like, this is not a 300% redress. Yep. And, you know what I mean? There's nobody in talks to the banks. So where's the shortfall coming up? It actually is turning them to a farce of a scheme. Like, I know there's a lot of people out there and saying, oh, this scheme's it's better than the last. We'll get her 15,000 accommodation, 5,000 storage, and the cap's bigger. That's all right for kind of middle age. But people that's not fit for this mental health side of stuff, a poor woman in the facilitator's office will not be fit for the tsunami that's ahead of her, in my eyes. And if the government don't get things done fast, and it's not like looking likely, because they're a million mile away from common sense here. No foundations, no amendments. They rush through the PLS. And the finger of blame is starting to really point towards our Fianna Fáil councillors, because if they put enough pressure on their Minister of Housing and their party, well, we would have a better scheme. I just think it's cut and dry. Like, we have another big, massive problem that happened yesterday, Donald. This is to do with the Donegal County Council. A lot of Fianna Fáil ones is on there too, but the Donegal County Council in general. Oh, two homeowners got on to me yesterday that the council have rejected valid engineers' reports. Now, this woman had got pyrite confirmed in her house. She had low strength blocks. She had high mica at 14%. She's got these rejected and sent to a housing agency in Dublin. Now, you probably heard me calling out for a housing agency.
Yeah.
When I was calling out for a housing agency, it was what they done down in Dublin, and they went end to end. They helped the homeowners. And that's why I'd be calling that a housing agency.
Yeah.
But that's other housing agency must be dealing with engineers' reports and doubting them. Well, sure, these engineers are Engineers Ireland. They're some of the best engineers out there. And somebody in the council that is not putting their name to paper is rejecting these. Now, this is going to set these... This is a massive, major worry of how that they can discredit these engineers. Like, this isn't really a case of defamation. They should be, all these engineers should be going looking at legal advice. Whoever in this council is just getting these reports.
Yeah.
And it's there's been houses that has been better off that have been passed for demolition. And now, for some strange apparent reason, they're rejecting these. That's another massive issue that needs to be addressed. But the bottom line is, if Fianna Fáil don't stand up for us, we're in serious bother. Serious bother.
Well, the housing agency you called for there actually doesn't seem, it seems to me to be exactly what Councillor Jack Murray called for. Just don't know if you heard any of Jack Murray before you were on with us, but Jack was on and he pretty much said the same thing. We need a national agency to come in and actually coordinate all this to make sure that there is consistency across the board and that all these outstanding issues are actually addressed. Paddy, a question has come in and I'm going to put this to you. You may have some perspective on it. A caller says, I live in a semi-detached estate in an estate of homeowners. Some homes have defective blocks. I don't have €6,000 to pay for a test. Would both I and my semi-detached neighbour have to pay separately for separate tests to get on the scheme?
Yeah, they do. Yeah, this is the whole thing about no plan, no common sense. That's seeming that is that case. Sure, look, you see that house up in Moncrana. That house, one house taken down.
Yeah, that's what we were talking about with Councillor Murray. Yeah.
Yeah, this is the whole thing of the whole lack of planning, lack of care in Donegal. Do you know what I mean? So, like, this is where Charlie McConnell and the Fianna Fáil councillor step on and say, right, let's get a bit of common sense. If this was down in Dublin, this is the biggest scheme in the history of land, and there's no project plan. Like, there's no rollout. All these things would come onto that rollout, a bit of common sense. That's the issue here. And it's just, with no planning, everything turns onto... You're running around chasing your tail. Nobody knows what's going on. It's a free-for-all. Every man for himself. But that's just completely wrong. It's completely wrong.
Paddy Diver, thanks indeed. Caller just saying, good to hear Paddy speaking the truth. And you've always shot from the hip, Paddy, and we're all the better for it. Paddy Diver, thank you very much indeed for speaking to us this morning. Sunny spells and scattered showers today. Some heavy with a chance of isolated thunderstorms. The cloud will thicken from the south later. Top temperatures 13 to 15 degrees Celsius with moderate southwesterly winds. They'll back southeast later as the day goes on. And that's the weather situation at the moment. Quick few comments. A time change at the weekend could have triggered the CCTV to go to factory settings instead of our time. That's a possibility as well. Caller says, I'm not old and I use cash for almost everything apart from direct debits for certain utilities. Cash gives you freedom to spend as you please without banks, corporations knowing your spending habits. Total control. I think people should hear the possibility of what a cashless society will involve. That is a very interesting point. There are a lot of discussion about the cashless society. A lot of people not very happy about the fact that they're using phones and watches and God knows what to pay bills with, and what's that allowing people to track. I have zero Irish and we send our children to a Gaelscoil. Do not let that be a barrier to children, your child to a Gaelscoil. View the school and see if the environment feels right. Base your decision on that. That would be my advice for what it's worth. That's a response to a comment yesterday where someone asked Greg if they should send their children to a Gaelscoil. I know people who have sent their children to Gaelscoils and they haven't got much Irish themselves, and they have all uniformly and universally reported it as a very beneficial thing and a decision that they believed was absolutely correct. Now, as a member of the press, I attend meetings of Donegal County Council and Municipal Districts on a regular basis, and as a member of the press I am objective and I sit there and I listen to debates and I do not form an opinion. Sometimes an issue is debated and I absolutely sit back, put my pen down, nod in agreement and say 100% yes, I agree fully with that. I had the pleasure of that this week at a meeting of Donegal County Council when Councillor Micheál Colm Gan Aspic proposed that Donegal County Council give the freedom of the county to Clannad. And I think every one of us, objective or not, say aye. Micheál, imagine why
it is. You'll be accused now for being a election agent for me for next year after that introduction.
Oh, no, I'm supporting Clannad, not you.
I know that, but it's just the way you were saying it. I don't often get that when I'm being interviewed as an introduction for something that I don't that everybody agrees with. You know?
Well, it's probably the most popular motion you've ever brought before that council, I suspect.
Probably it is, and one of the most important ones as well. Not dismissing any of my past motions, this is a motion that is very personal to me. I think it's very important to the west of Ireland, or the west of Donegal. It's very important to the Irish language community, and also very important to the music community throughout the whole country and further afield. Clannad had been on the music scene since 1970, when they first won and came to public attention, when they first won Letterkenny or Letterkenny Folk Festival. At the time, they were called Clann as Door, where they're from. And then my Uncle Huey changed it around then to Clannad with the last initials A for Ass and D for Door. So they've been travelling the world ever since. I, as a close relation of the family, had watched my father travel with them to countries far and wide through Europe. And at the time, I suppose Germany and Austria or any of them countries were like going to the moon for me as a young child, and waiting desperately for my father to return with the great stories that he had, along with Clannad playing at venues right across different countries in Europe, and how well they were received, and how the Irish language played a central part in their music, and were never ashamed to put the Gaelic to the forefront, and didn't bow to anybody's pressure in relation to the language.
I had the pleasure of being in Millennium Forum in Derry in May of last year when they played what was to be their final Northwest concert, and it was an absolutely amazing concert. I thoroughly enjoyed it. Sadly, since then, we lost Noel Dugan, who passed away in October of last year. A great loss, and I'm sure in honouring Clannad Donegal County Council, we're remembering Noel, and also obviously remembering others associated with the family, Leo Baba and so on and so forth, you know, and all those who made Clannad what they are.
Yeah, look, it was a bittersweet day for me putting this motion forward. I would have been not just a relation, but a very close friend of Noel's. He was my father, or my sister's godfather. And remembering Noel and Pádraig, and also Leon, who played a very central part of with Clannad through the years, and a fantastic, fantastic character. They all were, and especially Leon. You would never go into a pub and come out with a dull face when you were in the company of Leon. And they were very much to the forefront of my thoughts on at the council meeting during the week. And look, Clannad, they're a very gifted family that we in the west of the county are extremely proud of, and no doubt the whole county, and if not the whole country, are very proud of. They're a very close family. We all know the hard work that they've put into their music, travelling and writing and performing and recording. And then they have other members of the family who played a very central part, and maybe not to the forefront or to the media's attention. But, you know, it's not just Moya and Enya and that. You know, you have Deirdre and Olive in Australia, and if she's listening to this, could you tell to Olive, this one called Ruddy Gamay, he's Queen. And then you have Bridgine, and then you have, God, I hope I'm not leaving anybody out, and then Paul, obviously, and Kieran, and then Leon, who unfortunately passed away. But then you have Barley, and Barley's a great character in our part of the world. He's the one that was left behind in some sense, wasn't gifted with the music brush. But that said, it is worth the while to make a trip to Leo's Tavern, to Leo, to listen to him sing the Bogged Down by the Valley O.
And it's great to see as well. And anyone that was at the Millennium Forum concerts, or any concerts on the most recent tour up to the final show in Dublin just a few short weeks ago, Aisling, Moya's daughter, Aisling Jarvis, not only did she do an absolutely phenomenal job on In a Lifetime, bettering Bono in my humble opinion, but also I've had the pleasure of seeing Aisling perform herself in the Cottage Bar in Letterkenny and elsewhere on a couple of occasions. She's a great performer, so that legacy very much lives on.
Look, yeah, I'd be of the opinion it wouldn't be too hard to outperform Bono. That would be my own personal opinion. But Ashling and also my other son, Paul, are extremely gifted. But the family themselves, because there are other members of the families, you know, I don't want to name them, but they are extremely gifted. And, you know, they'll not mind me mentioning Bartley's young fella, Matthew, who does perform publicly and is only a young fella and is just so full of talent, as his other siblings and cousins are as well. And they're just a family that we're lucky that we have, who are just so gifted. And I'll take the opportunity to do a number of thank yous, which is first and foremost to Cordler Noreen McGarvey, who seconded the motion. I'd like to take the opportunity as well to thank all the members of the council, but especially our Cahilla, Liam Blaney, who allowed the motion to go forward, because in fairness to the Cahilla, it's really, it kind of tends to fall to the Cahilla to give this great honour, because it's not everybody that gets it.
Micheál, I really apologise. I have to talk over you. Time has caught up with us. We have to cut this off for news.
I am. Listen,
very well put. An excellent motion, and we look forward to seeing the day that Clonidh is honoured by their native county in a way that they fully deserve. Micheál, good amagath.
Good amagath.